This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. Observers, written by Gareth D. Jones, performed by Chris Herron. I was rather surprised when my observer first appeared. I was watching TV, a reality show, ironically, when he flickered into existence in the corner of the lounge. Like an old fluorescent light with a faulty starter, his image stuttered dimly, then sprang into full color. I say color, but he was pretty much gray and beige all over. Thinning gray hair, beige, form-fitting top, gray trousers. He held a gray electronic notebook of some kind, though whatever angle I looked from, I couldn't see anything on the screen. I was surprised, but not freaked out. Thousands of observers had been appearing for several months. I imagine the first few caused a lot of screaming and panicking. Mine just stood there, observing. I got up from the couch and approached slowly. The man blinked occasionally, but otherwise didn't react. I waved my hand through the space where he stood, just as I'd seen them do on the news. Nothing. He was there, but not in person. I circled him a few times, sat back down, ignored him. He looked back down at his pad occasionally and touched the screen. Otherwise, he just observed me. I went to bed much later. In the morning, he was standing in the corner of my bedroom. I don't know if he'd been there all night. After that, he was there almost all the time I was awake. He would appear in various rooms of my house, though I never saw him walk anywhere. He would stand in the corner of the office. I work for a security company in a huge office block of a couple of thousand people. A dozen or more of them had observers. Sometimes there would be three or four of them in view, but they didn't acknowledge each other. I called mine Bert. I don't know why. It seemed appropriate. Lots of people gave their observers names. Many ignored them. Some had nervous breakdowns. Zephyrin works in a neighboring office, a pleasant girl who always smells of lavender. She had an observer with pale skin and long black hair, whom she called Morticia. We decided Bert and Morticia were probably married. Neither of them reacted to the announcement. Other observers we decided were their brothers and sisters, cousins, drinking companions, or arch enemies. I spent quite a bit of time with Zephyrin, deciding which football teams they supported, who had a crush on whom, which of them was the conscientious, overtime-working glory seeker, and who was probably on a final written warning for being a slacker. I tried to get Bert involved, ask him to pass me a pen. He would just stand there, and I'd have to get it myself. It was a way to cope with the oppressiveness, a way to ignore the more serious questions. Were they broadcasting from the same place as each other, or, as some theorized, from the same time? Why was I chosen? Why was anyone chosen? What did they do with the information? In the office, we talked about conspiracy theories that the government was spying on its own people. There were protests in many cities, and we watched from our windows as an unruly crowd passed along the street below, waving placards and shouting slogans, a scattering of observers lining the route. In some lands, the observers were worshipped as, well, I don't know what. It depended on local beliefs. On the way to and from work, my observer would appear in the railway carriage, standing among the crowds. Some shied away from him. Some ignored him and stood overlapping his space. He never got on or off the train with me. He would just reappear somewhere else. Once or twice, I tried changing carriage. A few seconds after I settled into a new seat, he would reappear, unperturbed. The conductor tried to charge me for an extra ticket. I ignored him. Who watches the watchers? I've always liked that phrase. It implies an infinite regression, an answer without end. A government observer turned up at our office one day. They don't call themselves observers, to avoid confusion. He toured the building, making notes on all of our observers, taking photos. He didn't make any notes about the names or relationships we'd assigned them. The observers ignored him. When they all disappeared, all at the same time on the same day, I was as puzzled as everyone else. Relieved, too, at first. But two things worried me. The first was something vocalized by huge sections of the population. Had we been weighed in the balance and found wanting? Was humankind not worth observing anymore? Were they aware of an impending disaster, or were they going to cause a disaster? Nobody has good answers to any of those questions, and after a while, they were written off as paranoia. My second worry is more personal. I'm lonely. I live alone, and I'd got used to Bert's company. Admittedly, he wasn't a great conversationalist, but he was always there for me to talk to. I could chatter away about my thoughts and fears, and he'd listen patiently to everything I said, I assume. He watched TV with me, stood guard over my bed at night. I was always happy on my own before, but now there's something missing. I can't get used to the isolation. I liked watching him. Did I mention I work in a security firm? I'm pretty good at hacking into CCTV and security cameras. I've got myself some expensive binoculars, too, with night vision capability. I'm observing Zephryn now. I hope she doesn't mind. Gareth D. Jones is unofficially the second most translated science fiction short story author in the world, having been published in 28 languages. He is a father of five, two of whom are also published authors, lives in the UK, and fuels his writing with copious amounts of tea. Hey guys! So, Gareth is actually a returning author to the show, and one of my personal favorites. His concepts are always so bizarre, but he pulls them off so well, and they're so entertaining. I loved his story about the naked mole rat that I had on the show a little while ago. I'll be sure to leave a link down in the description to where you can find those. But definitely, he has mastered the short story format. He's got so much stuff in such a small space, it always blows me away. Also, if you enjoyed this, why not hit the thumbs up button if you're listening on YouTube or Facebook? Or if you happen to be listening to the podcast version, leave a review on Apple Podcasts. But of course, you can just hit that subscribe button if you like to keep getting more awesome short stories every couple of days. I'm Chris Herron, and that's it for today's Tall Tale TV.